All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, November 12th of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have an 8-game NBA main slate as well as a 7-game NHL main slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. And this is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in. Get your questions answered. And we also have our build review show that we do twice a week. Did it yesterday. Had a really, really good show. Plenty of people signed up. And then we have that show again on Friday of this week, 5 p.m. Eastern. If you ever want to get signed up, drop your DK username in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. Let me know what sport and slate you want me to review, and I will add you to the list for the next show. But with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here and let's jump into questions that have already started to make their way into the queue. So we have a number of questions to get to today. I see Henry asked to sign up for the build review later this week. Definitely got you down. Question from MPKR, question from Larson. Got one in the YouTube chat already. So going to be plenty to talk about today. Should keep us pretty busy. So let's get all these queued up and we will jump right in. All right, couple more. Run the bases. Union guy. See CJ typing. Plenty to talk about today. All right. We'll circle back to any more questions, but we'll start with these. So we're just going to go from top down. Demetrius said, would you recommend sorting by minutes played for a filter? I think it's fine to do that. You know, if you want to come in here and you want to say, hey, you know, I only want to play players with minutes over X, you know, I think that's like a totally fine thing to do. Something I do is I just set like a floor for projection. So, you know, I'll just, hey, you know, I don't want to play players projected for less than 10 points or something like that. Usually because these players, you know, sometimes might not even get in the game, right? And, you know, it's really unlikely you're going to get to like a lot of these players anyways, just because their values are so low, which means like, you know, you could see just by their ownership how few lineups they're getting into in like the field lineups as well. So it's just more like peace of mind, you know, type of thing. If you want to curate your player pool, I think that's totally okay. Right. So you got to figure out where that line is. Say you draw the line at 13, right? I would always come down here and just be like, okay, what players am I cutting off? And am I okay with that? Right. And wherever that line is, just take a quick peek, like, do I really care to have any of these players in my lineup? If the answer is yes, maybe lower it. If the answer is no, leave it as is, or even raise it if you want to, right? So totally okay to curate your player pool. It is just a personal decision about what you want your lineups to look like, who's in it, etc. All right, next question. Does the post-contest sim win rate count for solo binks only or any first place? Good question. So when you win in the contest sim, it is any time any lineup you have comes in first. So if your lineup is duped 100 times and wins, that counts. If your lineup is duped 0 times and is unique, that counts just the same, right? It is equal. So anytime a lineup gets first place, that goes towards your win rate. All right, next question. Can you cover what adjustments the sim will make for the cup in NBA this week? Point differential is a factor in any kind of tiebreaker, so some teams might run up the score a bit if they are up. This is a good question, right? This is, as far as I'm aware, this is not something we adjust for. You know, this is kind of similar to like the playoffs a little bit, where, you know, rotations tighten up. We're going off of the full season data, especially early in the playoffs. You could probably add some value to the sim by making some manual adjustments there. I would say this is really the same, right? I don't think we're going to be making any adjustments for cup tiebreaker rules, honestly, like the way you put it here. And if there is a big spread between the Pistons and the Celtics, right, and the Pistons are likely to get blown out, and you know, we do factor in blowout risk in our minutes, right? There is, you know, sims where, hey, you know, the team is up by 30 in the fourth quarter, you know, take Jason Tatum out, right? If you're I think no matter what happens here, the starters are going to play their full minute allocation. So I'm going to increase their fantasy point projection so to try and account for that happening as opposed to them coming out of the game. So I think there's definitely ways to add value in the exact ways you're talking about. And I would not be afraid to have a little bit more manual input into the sim around such things. So good idea. And I'm a fan of it. All right. Next question. In the process of increasing min uniques, does that also reduce duplicates? Is there a different way to reduce duplicates besides this? Also, what's the benefit of having less duplicates, if any? Good question. So a couple questions here. So let's answer this first one, the last question first. So what is the benefit of having less duplicates? So the answer here is that you're going to win more of the first place prize, right? So if we are playing a Millie Maker and you're going to win $100,000, right? Still good, but like, you know, sometimes you're going to play showdown contests where, hey, you know, there are lineups that are duplicated thousands of times, right? And I did this once. I remember I had the winning lineup for a Super Bowl showdown, and I think I only got like in the flagship, right? So like $1 million to first, I only got like $2,000 out of that because that lineup was so heavily duplicated, right? And winning first is hard enough, right? And when you do win, you want to win as much of the first place prize as possible. So that is the benefit. It does show up in the post-contest sims as well. You know, having less duplicates is generally beneficial. You have to balance it out with win probability and sim average score and things like that. But less duplication is generally better, is a fine way to think about it. Second part, is increasing mini uniques, does that reduce duplication? So no, it does not. What mini uniques does is it reduces the correlation between the lineups that you're playing. So typically the builder will identify a set of players or a group of players that fit well together with value, with point projection, with salary, right? And it could get to a lot of those players by itself, right? It's like, hey, you know, when you play these players together, they do really well in the sim and it leads to a higher ROI. Well, you might not want to be so concentrated on a particular set of players, right? Because what's going to happen is you could actually visually see this in the standings, is that your lineups are going to be very clumped together, right? They're like going to be all on the left, all in the middle, all on the right. They're going to be very, very tight, right? What Mini Uniques does is it reduces that effect by helping you play a more neutrally correlated set of lineups where all of your outcomes are not dependent on a few players, right? If one of those players you have in your highly correlated set has a bad game, gets hurt, you know, it's going to hurt all of your lineups, right? But with Min Uniques, when you're playing less correlated set of lineups, yeah, it might hurt some, but it's not going to hurt all of them, right? And you can see this, like your lineups will be more spread out across the standings, right? Giving you more shots to take down first place in the event that something goes wrong with one of your players. They get hurt, they have a bad game, they get benched. You know, we see these things all the time. So that's the benefit of mini uniques, especially in a high variance sport like DFS. I don't know if you call it a sport, but you know, DFS is very high variance. A lot of things can happen. Swings are big, so you gotta try and account for those as much as possible. Then the last question here, Is there a different way to reduce duplicates besides this? Yes. The first when and most common way that we talk about is through geometric mean. So to learn more about that, you can check out this video in our help documentation. So I'm going to go to our support library in tutorials. So you go to view more, type in geometric. And we have this video, how do ownership product and ownership geometric mean work? Geometric mean is a form of product ownership that is better at estimating duplication than something like sum ownership would be. I talk about it in the video. It's about a 5-minute video. It talks about the differences between sum ownership, product ownership, geometric mean, how to apply it in the app on the starter plan, how to apply it on the app on the ultimate plan, and just best practices. So this video is really good. I will drop it in the Discord as well, where I know you asked this question directly. So I want to send it straight to you. And this one was from Mac. So I'll give you this article. All right. Article sent. Got that question from CJ Dunn. Just add that to the queue. Cool. Let's keep it rolling. Next question. Is it possible to download the field lineups, low stakes, 20 max, flagship, MME, etc.? No, the field lineups are not downloadable. And as far as I'm aware, they are going to stay that way. We think our field lineups are very valuable and we don't want people trying to reverse engineer how we're doing them. So our field lineups are not downloadable for that purpose. All right. Next question. Let's get rid of these. If you upload NBA projections for a late swap build after lock, do players that have already locked use the uploaded projections or the live SaberSim projections? Good question. So we would be using the live projections for any contest sims that you run. So say, you know, we're halfway through the slate tonight, right? We're in between this 4:30 p.m., 5 p.m. window on Pacific Standard Time. And you upload projections, right? Well, for all the games that have already started, we're going to be using the live projections. And then for all the games that haven't started, we are going to continue to use your custom projections. So at this point, you know, the players who have locked cannot be added or removed from MineUp. So at that point, we kind of want to just go off of the actual data. How are they actually doing in the contest up to this point? And then for all the players who haven't started, they will continue to use your custom projections. All right. Next question. How do I get more of a player in my overall lineup pool? For example, Davis Allen was only showing up at 1% last night, and I wanted more lineups with him in it, and Stafford was showing up in 60%. How do I control this? So the easiest way to control this is going to be with the min-max exposure columns. You can come in and just change minimum exposure from 0 to 10 to 20. If the builder is having trouble reaching this value naturally, right? If it's like, hey, you get like an error message, like, you know, not enough lineups in your pool to meet this request. At that point, what I would do is just rebuild the lineups. So right now, this marker says build lineups because I have none. Once you build initially, and then your lineup set loads up, you can always rebuild the lineups, and then it will take into account any further adjustments that you've made here. So that's what I would do. Possible a projection increase can also help with that, right? If you boost his projection a couple points, then that can help him to show up more naturally. But if you just want to guarantee that the player gets into your lineups, the easiest thing to do is to increase their minimum exposure. And then same thing for Stafford. You just go in and do the opposite. Instead of the minimum exposure column, you use the maximum exposure and you set a cap to him. You know, you said 60% was too much for you. Maybe you set it to 40, right? So you come in here, set max exposure to 40. You apply it. If the builder can meet it, great. If the builder can't, then you just go and rebuild the lineups as well. All right. Continuing down here, RB1 Smitty said, I added showdown contests on DK NFL and then imported lineups again to SS, and this obviously overwrote my existing contest build info. Is there a better way to import new contests? Thanks. So if you have already filled your lineups, and put them on the fantasy site, right? So let's say that you've already saved all your lineups, you upload them to DraftKings, and then you decide, hey, I want to play some more contests. You go and you enter those contests, you overwrite your file. When you re-import your file from DraftKings, it should still have those lineups. You can check this by opening the file on download. So when you use the hyperlink to download the template file from the contest tab, and then, you know, the file gets downloaded, you can actually open up the file and see if there are lines of data there. So just because the source will say upload doesn't mean there aren't lineups in there. And then what you could effectively do is just go and fill the new contest, leave the old ones, and then those lineups should persist. So what we're doing when we download the entry file, right, is we are just asking DraftKings, hey, what information do you have about this user's entries? And then what DraftKings does is if you're just reserving, it's saying, hey, you know, they entered all these contests, but there's no lineups, right? That's why it comes back blank. If there are lineups in there, it's going to be like, hey, you know, these are the lineups that the person has in these contests at this exact moment. And then we grab those and we read those. So if those lineups are already uploaded, you don't have to touch them. You can just go and fill the contests that aren't filled and then upload them all together. Those other ones should stay the same. All right, next question. Can you explain the new generate field from ownership feature versus my old style of matching exposure to ownership and manually creating my own field collection? Yes, this is a upcoming feature on our beta site in case anybody isn't aware of it. Basically, it's like pretty tedious to generate your own set of field lineups. You know, you got to upload the ownership, and then you got to match the exposure to the ownership, and then you got to generate a build. And it just gets, you know, there's a lot of steps involved, right? We created a video on how this works because there were so many steps involved. So what we did is we wanted to make this process simpler. So we are testing out this new feature where you upload your custom ownership projections, and then you click a button that says generate field lineups. And we take care of all that for you. So the biggest difference is here, in my opinion, is that, you know, kind of the way we were talking about, like, hey, you know, we have our field lineups, are they downloadable? And I said, no, the reason for that is because we've back tested lots and lots of contests to understand the trends and differences in stakes and entry sizes between different contests, right? You're effectively getting that information applied to your ownership. Before, when you create your ownership yourself, that's actually not happening, right? You're just creating a build, right? The correlation slider determines the stacking rates. The sim diversity comes into play with player upside, right? You just have your minimax settings, right? You can't really understand what the other trends in the contest are. Well, we're basically applying our backtesting, applying the things that go into our field lineups to your custom ownership as well. So you get your minimax ranges for the players with all of our backtesting accounted for as well. So it just leads to an even better representation of custom field lineups for the type of contest that you're building for. All right, next question. If updated projection/ownership come in before lock, do I need to rebuild or can I just run a new sim? I asked to avoid redoing my exposures. Okay, good question. So first thing, right, is if you run a build, you set a bunch of minimax exposures, and then you run a new build, those settings will still hold true for the new set of lineups, and we will know those up front, so we will take them into account right away. So you don't have to worry about clicking rebuild lineups and all of your work getting unaccounted for. It's actually still going to be accounted for. Second part is, do you need to update? The answer is it depends. The sport in question pulling up their lineup alert channel and seeing what happened, right? And basically what this would look like. And I'll just like pull up Discord. to show it. This is probably a good example. So I have the Discord up here, right? I went to NFL lineup alerts, and we see, you know, we see one sim finishes, right? No significant projection changes. Cool. You know, that means players didn't move by plus or minus 1 point, and the impact is minimal. I would leave that alone, right? I wouldn't redo anything. You can recontest sim if you want. That's fine. But I don't think it's worth rebuilding lineups. But then we see the second one, right? Nico Collins gets ruled out, and then all these players adjust. I would definitely rebuild lineups for this information. So it's going to depend on the size of the information, the impact it has on the slate. And, you know, even if you didn't have any Nico Collins in your lineups, it's probably still worth rebuilding for because of all the projection adjustments to all these other players, right? So that's what I would mostly be considering when I'm trying to decide, do I need to rebuild or can I just rerun the contest sim? All right. Next question, Stanley. Upload custom projections without it overriding the current custom projections. I would like to upload custom just to compare then my current edits without wiping them out. What I would do is just name it slightly differently, right? So if you upload a custom set of projections and, you know, you come into the projections, you click save, maybe I'm doing like an aggregate, right? So I just put aggregate, right? The next one, I'm just going to name it aggregate one, and then I'm going to name it aggregate two, aggregate three. So if you name it the same exact thing, yes, it will overwrite it. So if you want it to be a separate column, you're going to have to name it slightly differently. So that's the way to solve that problem. All right. Good stuff so far here. We are caught up with our first round of questions, so going to jump back to office hours. Looks like we hit that last question from CJ. So those are all of our questions here. I'm going to jump into a build demo and see if any additional questions roll in here. So let's say I'm building lineups for today's NBA slate, right? First thing I'm doing, coming in here, making a couple of adjustments to projections. You only need to make two if you're on DraftKings, right? That's what unlocks the build lineups button. It's a DraftKings community guideline. And from here, not doing anything else, going to click build lineups. So let's kick this off. Question from Ozone. Almost none of the millionaire maker winners this year had a positive sim ROI. If you go down to the top 20 spots, it's about 50%. Is it worth using an ROI filter? So I think so. I think it's always going to be worth using an ROI filter. And the reason for that, right, is I'll typically use like a poker example for this is, you know, if you're familiar with Ultimate Texas Hold'em, 2-7 is the worst hand you can play, right? If you play that hand, you know, over and over and over again, you're going to lose money on average, right? Now, that doesn't mean the hand never wins, and it just means that it loses more over the long term. So even negative sim ROI lineups still cash, still win, you know, you're going to see that, right? So it's not to say that they never win. It's just like if we played this slate over, you know, 100,000 times, they are going to lose more than they win if we add up all the entry fees and we add up all of the winnings from that lineup, right? So it kind of comes down to a question like, hey, do you trust the contest sims? Do you believe in the premise of them? And do you think that, you know, they're good? And my opinion is, you know, yes. And I think that, you know, I trust that data and it served me pretty well. So we are, you know, 10 weeks into the season, we're looking at 10 specific contests. If you're just looking at like the 150, you know, I would be surprised to see like every single contest in the lobby, right? And get like a little bit bigger sample size as far as contests go, right? So there's a couple different ways you can come at this, but in general, I do think it is worth using an ROI greater than zero filter. Next question. Do you recommend changing salary min-max for NFL main slates or showdowns? Any tendencies you've seen? Good question. One thing we've talked about a lot on our build review show is if your lineups have a lower sim average score than the field does generally, one thing that you can do is increase your minimum salary to try and account for this, right? So typically salary and projection are correlated. So if you find yourself consistently lower than the field in the same average score department, you can try and band-aid this by increasing your minimum salary. So I definitely think there are opportunities to increase minimum salary. As far as showdown, that was for classic slates specifically I was referring to. Now for showdowns, I actually do like the idea of lowering minimum salary. You know, our minimum default is 45K, just making sure people get decently projected lineups and don't get too off the rails. But if you're okay playing some outlier lineups and you're trying to optimize for slates where things are, you know, super wonky or low scoring game, I think it's totally fine to lower minimum salary. So I'll tell you what I do. I lower mine to 40,000, right? 45,000 is the default. I lower mine to 40,000. I'm okay playing lower salary lineups. It doesn't really bother me at all. So I think it's fine. I'm going to jump over to the contest tab, go create a contest sim. So say I'm playing the $3 20 max. Looks like a pretty good contest. Going to go back to my build, click run contest sim. And I'm going to move some columns around so I can just see the data I want to see. So I mostly care about seeing like exposure and leverage. Opponent in position don't mean a ton to me. All right. So our sim is finished. I can see all the data I feel is useful, right? I like to have two aggregate metrics, average projection, and then average ROI. These help me a lot. This was a $3 20 max. We're going to build 20 lineups here. So I'm about ready to rock and roll, right? What I like to do is note these values, right? We could also do the ROI filter like we were talking about. So first come in here, say, hey, show me lineups with ROI greater than zero. Shouldn't affect our top lineups. That sent about half of our lineups to the pool. It's kind of also why we talk about, hey, you know, it's when you're using SaberScore, it's better to try and stay in the top 25 to 50% of your pool. Kind of for this reason, right? You're estimating that about half your lineups are going to go in the trash and just trying to play it a little bit safer. That's why we recommend not going all the way down to lineup 500. But anyways, you know, at this point I would start increasing mini uniques, right? Noting my average projection, average ROI, got 281.8, 134. And then I'm just going to increase these until these move significantly, right? And significantly is a little subjective, right? But I'll just kind of explain it. So 281.8, 134. Okay, mini uniques of 2, 281.6, 129. So down 5% ROI. Projection hasn't moved very much. Mini uniques of 3, 281.1, so down 0.7. ROI down about 15%. I think 3 is like an okay number to stay out if you want to. I think 4 is like a little far, right? We go from 281.8 to 279. So almost down 3 points in projection. Almost down like 35% ROI. For me, 3 feels like the right number here. So I'd probably stop at 3. At this point, you could check your leverages, your exposures, making sure you're comfortable with what you're seeing. Everything looks good to me. You know, Giannis is like the highest owned player on the slate at the moment, and we have 100%. It doesn't look too bad. And all these other players, their leverages look fine to me, right? So I would be pretty happy with what I'm seeing, and I'd be ready to rock and roll with these lineups and then be ready to start late swapping as additional news comes out. But this is a pretty lean NBA process if you're looking for somewhere to start. All right, let's jump back to the Discord real quick. Got one more in the Discord. Let's get that in here. All right, next question. We can see a player's overall portfolio exposure. Is there any way to see which contest each player is in? For example, Hill is in 25% of my lineups, but which contest? So you can do this by unchecking contests. So for instance, oh, what's a good example? Let me go do something. Let me pull up my lineups from yesterday. I'll do this for yesterday's NBA main slate on FanDuel. All right, let's pull this up. All right, give us a second to load. All right, so say I used autofill, right? You can see I use autofill. Now let's say that, hey, I want to see, you know, the exposures on a more contest by contest basis, right? So for instance, what I could do is I can go to the player table, right? And then I could go to entry exposure. So here I see, you know, all my entry exposures. Well, when I uncheck all of the contests and only check one, this exposure specifically should update, right? So you're going to see there are differences now between entry exposure and exposure because these are updating accordingly, right? So like if I uncheck this one and then go to the next contest, well, then now my exposure is updated, right? Ben Simmons was my highest owned. Now it's Amen Thompson. And then I go to the next one. Now it's Darius Garland, right? And I can just simply go down this list, seeing how many lineups each player was in. So that's probably what I would recommend is going to autofill, unchecking all your contests, going to the exposure, checking it, and all right. That was our last question. We are all caught up here in the YouTube chat and the Discord. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.